Greetings, this is Nigeria Anderson. You're listening to UrbanBuzzMag.com, and I have Eric Dawkins on the line with me, president of A&R Inspirational Record Label Legacy Music Group. Eric, say hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
So now, I've had the pleasure of talking to many executives and A&Rs from secular labels, so I'm kind of honored today to talk to someone with an inspirational record label so I can get some clarity or identify some of the similarities that you guys do in choosing recording artists. So can you help me out?
I absolutely can. I know one thing off top, when you speak of record labels or the music business, it's all pretty much the same. I've experienced the business on both sides of the coin, you know, doing secular and gospel or inspirational. And when it comes down to it, the bottom line is business is business. But you would like to think that if you're working with someone that's in the inspirational or gospel industry that, you know, it's more integral or whatever. But transparent moment, not always like that.
Right.
You know, so it just depends on who you're dealing with and, you know, what their motive is, because at the end of the day, a business is really just trying to make money.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we call it. We call it what it is. But you know, you just got to look at who you're dealing with. Consider the source.
Right.
But with me, of course, I've been in gospel pretty much all my life. So when it comes to business, you know, I try to be as transparent and integral as possible when dealing with people. So. And I've pretty much had that MO from jump. You know, I have a pretty good rapport with people. And I'm a people person, so When it comes to business, I try to be as fair as possible, you know.
Right. You know, I've been curious. How does gospel artists become gospel artists? Like, you know, I've been doing this for a while, and I'm always curious, is it that the labels, I mean, this is before social media. Mm-hmm. Like, y'all go to the church, someone sends you a CD, or, like, I you know,
well,
like,
how
did Shirley Caesar become Shirley Caesar? You know, like, when did this, if you could just help me out a little bit.
There's an origin, I believe, and even speaking with a lot of secular artists, mainly in the R&B, you'll find that a lot of them started in church.
Okay.
Because as a culture, back in slavery days, black folks' religion or their faith was really something that was important to them. So that's really where we're rooted and grounded in our faith. So growing up in church is like the norm. Like you talk to, you know, I know a lot of secular artists that are Christians, but they just happen to be secular artists.
Right.
So it just becomes a choice you make when you decide that you want to do music professionally. Do you want to do gospel or do you want to do secular or, you know, whatever? So it's no different than somebody that wants to do pop or R&B, you know, putting together some songs or just going to someone, finding someone that can, you know, put them on and saying, I want to do this style of music or that style of music. So it's really the same thing. It's just a choice you make. In what direction you want to go.
First, I want to commend you because I'm always concerned with gospel artists being signed to labels and ain't nobody on the label a Christian. So,
right.
Just want to say that kudos part. To you. Okay. I'm a devout Christian, so, you know, and I do secular and Christian. I have a Christian radio show that's just dedicated to Christian artists. I thought it would be like soaring through the roof, but I don't know. I don't even know where the Christian artists are. So I'm glad I know you. Maybe you could send them my way. No, I'm joking.
Well,
we'll
definitely do what we could do to send some your way. But it's kind of funny when you say where are all the Christian artists? A lot of Christian artists, you know, they look for outlets in, you know, more than just the Christian community. Mm-hmm. But I can speak from experience from me and my brother, who have been doing music together for 30 plus years now. We had a sound, and we've been kind of labeled as pioneers or trailblazers in the urban gospel music area, because we were doing stuff that we would get from some program directors. It sounds too secular for gospel, but gospel labels will say, or secular labels will say, it's too gospel for secular. So we were kind of stuck in that middle ground because of the sound of our music, but the message was clearly, you know,
right,
gospel.
Right.
So a lot of gospel artists that want to have that crossover or mainstream appeal, you know, they look for those outlets where it's not just a Christian or gospel station or outlet. They want to do something that puts them on more of a mainstream stage. And that's one thing that legacy is kind of focusing on, the crossover aspect of inspirational music, because we want it to be on a larger stage.
Right.
So like more people need to hear the message of Christ. So
right.
We're doing what we have to do to get the message out there even further than it is now.
Yeah, no, WKPS Radio, where key players speak, we play the most diverse gospel anywhere online. We started like that, and I've always done it like that simply because I like music. I love music. I'm a fan of music, and I love all styles of music. So even though when we launched, we was being criticized, playing hip-hop, gospel hip-hop. Right now, the station, we have a special DJ guest, Brian Ness. He's did a house gospel mix for us. We play it all. So when I say, where are they? I'm kind of just launching out the net. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Stretching out my net. I do.
Yeah.
And telling them to come on.
That's how you got to do, though. Cast
right.
that net out.
That's
there.
Right. And tell them to come on, come on. But we've interviewed a host of phenomenal, well-known artists. So I'm just kind of being funny. But when I got you guys information, I was like, I have to promote, I have to talk to you guys and let them know that you're out there, you know, and that I mean, you have like great Fred Hammond and Tasha on your label. So yeah. Now with headliners like that, right, then how do you go forth looking for fresh talent and new talent that's out there? And one thing I don't see, I know I asked that question and I'm going on, you know, I'm sorry, but is there a camaraderie amongst the gospel community? Now, I know Kirk Franklin does a lot of, you know, introducing new gospel recording artists, and we have the whole BET situation. But where are the outlets? Like I was saying before, is it, you know, can I tell you, oh, I know this gospel artist, they're hot, and send you something? Are you looking on YouTube? Let the people know how you're looking for them so they can be found.
You know what? We look, well, I'll say me, I look everywhere.
Okay.
Today, it's kind of ironic that I would be an A&R now, or president of A&R, because for a minute, you know, I was kind of feeling like the purpose or the need for A&Rs was kind of not there anymore, because we have YouTube, we have Instagram, we have Facebook, we got Snapchat, all these things where people showcase their talent. You know, that has become the A&R, because if you look on somebody's Instagram page and see that they sing or they play or they produce, and you check out their followers and the reactions they get from different posts, that kind of is where you can get a gauge of, you know, what their value is, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, you know, I look everywhere.
Right.
And I learned a lesson from a record exec, a good friend of mine, to listen to everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything that comes across my desk, I listen to it, because you never know what you're going to get.
Right.
And that's really how I got put on in, you know, in the pop world back in the late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Tape that I was involved in, came across his desk, and it happened to be the last one that he listened to, and ended up putting me on with Christina Aguilera, and, you know, started a relationship with her, working on her records and stuff. So that's really what got me into the game, because somebody at a top level listened to everything that he got.
Mm.
So just from that, I, you know, anytime somebody sends me something or wants me to listen to something, I'll listen to it. And, you know, over the years, I've learned how to be honest about, you know, how my professional opinion, and
right.
You know, I preface it with, this is just my opinion,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like this, or I feel like that, or I feel like this is great, or this could be better, or you shouldn't play this for anybody else. All the way across the board. Yeah,
right.
I have to be that way because I feel like a lot of people, they get a raw deal because nobody tells them the truth.
Right.
And they spend all this time and money doing something that's probably never going to go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Not the way they wanted to because somebody's not being honest with them. So I kind of took on that role as being the honest A&R.
Thank you so much.
Even when it hurts, you know, mm-hmm. Without being, cruel or rude to somebody, I try to give them as much, being politically correct, give them as much, constructive criticism as I can. And hopefully they'll take that and, run with it or make a life decision at that fork in the road. Do I listen to this person that's been doing this for 30 years or do I go on my own and say, he don't know what he's talking about? it's the chances they have to take at that point.
Mm-hmm.
my hands are washed up. Once I give them my opinion, if they follow it, cool. If they don't, it's on them.
Right.
But I try to be honest at the end of the day.
So let's get a little more background on Eric Dawkins, of your business being in entertainment. One, how did you even get involved with entertainment? I honestly believe it's a call. If you do not have a call for this microphone, this entertainment business, it will eat you up and spit you out. So how did you get
introduced?
You took the
words right out of my mouth.
I've been doing this for a while.
That is something that me and my brother would tell people all the time. Because we would get people come to us and ask, what should I do to be in this business? First thing we ask them is like, do you believe that you're called to do this?
Come on now.
Because if you're not called to do it, trust me, it'll be a lot more drama involved than you will probably be able to handle.
Right.
Because it's one thing to be called and deal with, the no's and the naysayers and the disappointments. But if you're not called and have to deal with that kind of stuff, you don't have the same, I don't think you have the same grace.
Right.
Or even the same passion to deal with that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to encourage people to, pray about it. Seek God and find out if this is what you're really supposed to be doing.
Right.
In the first place. Then if you get that answer back that, yes, this is it, okay, dig in,
mm-hmm.
because it's a journey. It's not all glamorous. They see us on stage and,
mm-hmm.
In front of the lights and everything and think it's glamorous, but it's not all that.
Right.
We do it because we love to do it, but we know that it's a warfare for us.
Preach.
Because of the message that we're bringing, because everybody's not, they're not accepting of it.
That's right.
So in a world where, so much devastation and so much evil and whatnot, we have to be, firm on what our belief is and, take whatever comes with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really the first speech that we give people. And then after that, it becomes a thing of, okay, now I need you to be really consistent and vigilant about what you're doing, because there's a different mantle on gospel artists, because there's a pedestal that people put us on because they feel like we're supposed to be, above sin and all this kind of stuff. So it's a lot of stuff that we have to deal with that secular artists don't have to deal with. So it's, making sure they're ready to deal with the people that are going to question their faith, the people that are going to challenge their faith.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's a lot of stuff to consider when you come into this.
So how did you get started?
Actually, me and my brother are PKs. My dad is a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been in the church all our lives, and it was just something that we felt was, what we were supposed to do.
Okay.
And at 18 and 19, we were a couple local groups that we sang with in Ohio and just decided that, we wanted to do it more on a larger scale, so not just regionally, but kind of nationally. And started doing some demos, writing some stuff. Had a friend that knew Fred Hammond and got us an audience with him. And we gave him a demo tape that we had done. And he saw something right off bat and offered us a job. So we started touring with Commission, playing in the band.
Oh, okay.
And so that's really where our professional start came from. But we've been singing and playing in the church for years before that. I credit Fred Hammond with giving me my start in the industry.
Oh, okay. Good. What have you learned thus far being in the industry that taught you a very valuable lesson that you still keep near to your heart and are aware of?
One of the most valuable lessons that I've learned is that relationships take you a lot further than your talent or your skill. And people don't realize that. I recognize the gift that I have, but, and the Bible even says your gift will make room for you, but it's kind of like that whole thing. You can get a job, but can you keep a job? It's like, it's easy sometimes to get a job, but keeping a job is the hard part. So for me, it's been really, really vital to my longevity in this business, to be friendly, to be honest, to, you know, not be caught up in nobody's drama, and just, you know, be that guy that people don't mind calling when they have a project that they're working on. Right. And so my relationship with people that I've worked with from, 20 years back is still intact today. So, you know, relationship is probably the most important things for me in the industry.
Amen. So now, besides being president of A&R for Legacy Music Group, now that you are president of A&R Legacy Music Group, what's your vision as the A&R president and for the label?
My vision as A&R or president of A&R is to kind of get back to the art of artist development and being involved with the artists that we have on the label, not just, you know, babysitting. Because I'm a writer and a producer, I think that kind of gives me an edge because I can be in there and be hands-on and not just give, you know, my opinion.
Right.
I can actually be involved in the creative process, the writing process, you know, even the production process of any of the artists that I have on the label. And, of course, there's some that we'll have that are self-contained that I won't have to do that, but because of, again, going back to the relationship and the name that I've built in the industry, there's not too many artists that I come across that don't ask if I would be involved, if I would write something for them, or if I would, you know, help in the creative process of what they're doing. So I think anybody that comes to the label, I'll have something to do with, you know, however many songs we decide on the project, which is, for me, one thing that was important, that I'd be able to remain creative and not just be, you know, the one behind the desk,
right,
pushing buttons, you know. I like to be involved. You know, I know at some point, you know, as I get older, that may end up being what I do. But, you know, for now, as long as I have the ability, I want to be as involved and creative as possible in the process.
Wow, excellent. So, Eric Dawkins, give us some of your writing and producing credits. Brag on yourself a little bit.
It's always hard for me because my discography is kind of long, so I'm trying to figure out who to start with. But I'll go back to, you know, beginning of first song that I ever got published when somebody was on the Commission Number 7 project.
Okay.
I wrote "I Can't Live Without You," Second Chance on that project with my brother. So from there, you know, jumping all the way into pop, with Christina Aguilera. I did a lot of her vocal production on the Stripped project. Did 4 songs on her Christmas project and was featured on one of them, Angels We Have Heard on High, so I'm singing on there. From there, my first R&B song was How You Gonna Act Like That by Tyrese. And from there, just kind of built a relationship with him. So I do a lot of stuff with him now. And we're really good friends. Reference and demo a lot of stuff for him. Justin Bieber, Chris Brown, Tony Braxton, Ruben Studdard, Joe, Tank, Fantasia, who else? There's Mary Mary, CeCe Winans, who have I worked with? Oh, Mary J. Blige, Michael Bolton. The list goes on. I'll tell you a funny story. I got Kiara Sheard. I have to mention her because of the story.
You named a couple of good key players too. You know, we always say once a key player, always a key player. Like now, you're part of the key player family. So I'm like the mob. You can't get out.
You're in there. It was so funny. Kiara was with her BRL movement, she one year was honoring me as a like an unsung type, you know. And while I was there, she was honoring me, Mary Mary, the Truth rapper, CC Winans, and some radio personality out of Chicago. And while we were there, they when it came time for my award, they put up on the screen like all these different people that I had worked with. My manager actually sent them in like a discography of a gang of people I worked with. And I'm sitting there watching the screen and seeing these people. Some of the stuff I forgot that I did. And CeCe, we were sitting on the same row, and CeCe bends down and looks over at me and says, "Who are you?" and we just started laughing because I was sitting there. I think they were looking at my face like, he don't even remember some of the stuff that he worked on. Like, and I was literally kind of taken aback, like, man, God has really
come on now.
Created some, you know, some moments for me, like opened a lot of doors. And I just, you know, I think that goes back to me just being, you know, a people person. I don't believe my own press.
Right.
So once I do something, I'm like on to the next. I'm like, I have to keep moving. I'm never going to rest on the last thing I did. It's always about what am I doing next. So it was a moment for me to see all the stuff that I'd been able to be a part of. And her CeCe saying that, it was just really funny. Like, who are you? Like, and I've known CeCe for years.
Right.
And so that, yeah, I've worked with a lot of people.
Okay, so Fred Hammond's song, Tell Me Where It Hurts. I watched the video and was like, he trying to make me cry, but I ain't going to even cry. Now, did you have anything to do with that?
I was actually in the studio. I'm singing, and I created some of the background vocals for that song.
Wow, yeah, singing.
That was like the first thing that we had done, really, since Fred produced me and my brother's first project. But yeah, I was involved in that process.
Man, that's
and we're actually working on a remix to it now. So
okay.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean that's just amazing, and I'm excited for you and what Legacy Music Group is going to be bringing forth, because not only are y'all anointed for this, you're Christians, you've been in it across the board. So I'm sure, like, y'all about to be like the Motown of gospel.
We're trying. We're definitely, you know, we've definitely got some ideas and plans for this next year. You know, even with me and my brother releasing our new project this year, we released our last one in 2011. So it's been a minute for us. So we're getting back out there doing it.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. So tell people your social media and how they can reach out to you.
My social media all the way across the board, at Facebook is Eric Dawkins. Instagram and Twitter is at edawkins, E-D-A-W-K-I-N-S. You can find me like that.
Well, Eric Dawkins, I really appreciate you taking the time to spend with us here at UrbanBuzzMag.com. And as we say, once a key player, always a key player. And whatever you guys are doing, feel free to let us be part of your media outlet.
Absolutely. And thank you for the interview.
You are more than welcome.